Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Yatamahanti Bhutani, and seeing how Jiva Goswami saw the rahasya, prema bhakti being described in that verse. So more about that. 95.13. Abhicha rahasyam nama yetad eva yad parama durlabham vastu Dushto dasina jana drishti nivaranartam sadharana vastvantarin achadyate yata chintamani samputadina. Moreover, this confidential mystery is most rare, disguised by the covering of other ordinary matters, to divert the mind, the eyes of evil and uninterested, to divert the eyes of evil and uninterested persons, like a chintamani gem hidden by the box containing it. Okay, so it's confidential mystery. It's being hidden from envious eyes. Ata eva paroksha vada vishaya paroksham cha mama priyam. Thus the personality of Godhead has said, the Vedic seers deal in esoteric terms, and I am also pleased by such confidential descriptions. Tareva cha paroksham priyate yadadeya virala pracharam mahadvastu bhavati asya aiva adeyatvam virala pracharam mahadvam cha. Something is kept esoteric when it is a precious item, scarcely available, and not to be given away. This has been described in many statements, such as, he sometimes bestows liberation, but hardly ever pure devotion. Muktim dadati karhichid smana bhakti yogam idyadishu bahutra vyaktam swayam chaita deva shri bhagavata parama bhakta vyam arjuna udava vyam paktoktyayiva patitam. The personality of Godhead himself has also said this in his own words to his best devotees, Arjuna and Uddhava, in statements including the following: Sarva Bhuyatamam Bhuyam Shrinume Paramam Vacham, and also Sugopyam Bivakshyami Ityadina Cha. So, To Arjuna, Krishna said, because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you, my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. And Krishna told Uddhava, I shall now speak to you the most confidential knowledge. So rahasya, rahasya means a secret, something that's not meant to be told or shown to everybody. So this confidential mystery of prema bhakti is there in the Vedas, but it's covered. Those who are unfit can't see that it's there, and that's intentional. Prodokshavada. The Vedic rishis like to speak in esoteric terms so that not just anybody can understand. And thus Krishna also told Arjuna and Uddhava that the knowledge they're giving them is very confidential. Of course, the Bhagavad Gita has been made public domain. There wasn't, the recording, the conversation was repeated by Sanjaya and put into the Mahabharata for everybody to read. But even though everybody can read the Bhagavad Gita, not everybody can understand it properly. It's still confidential knowledge. Okay, continuing. Idam cha rahasyam Sri Narad Daya Swayam Sri Brahmanaiva Prakriti Kritam. Sri Brahma personally revealed this same confidential mystery to Sri Narada in the second canto. Idam Bhagavatam Namo Yanne Bhagavato Ritam Sangraho Yam Vibhutinam Twametad Vipuli Kuru. Brahma told Narada, this science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken to me in summary by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it describes in one text the totality of his diverse potencies. That's, I think, his Prabhupada's translation. Maybe I changed the word or two. But that one verse doesn't say anything about prema bhakti. You say, okay, it's a description of the Lord's opulences. That's just knowledge. But the next verse says, Brahma still speaking, Yata hadau bhagavati vina bhaktir bhavishyati sarvatman sarvatman yagila dara iti sankalpya varnaya iti. Please expand this science yourself. Please describe the science of Godhead with determination and in a manner by which it will be quite possible for the human being to develop transcendental devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Hari, the super soul of every living being, and the supermodal source of all energies. That's Prabhupada's translation. We're used to hearing that from Prabhupada. But Prabhupada's not putting his own words into Brahma's mouth. This is what Brahma said. He's touching on the rahasya here, the secret of pure devotional service, prema bhakti. Tasmat sadhu vyakyatam swami charanaya rapi rahasyam bhakti iti. Therefore, Srila Sridhar Swami has quite properly explained that the confidential mystery, that word was used by Narayan, sarahasyam, tarambamcha. So, might speculate, what's that rahasya? What's the mystery? But Sridhar Swami says it's devotional service, bhakti. And Jiva Swami says he's right. Commentary. Persons who are contaminated by evil behavior and attitudes, and those who are too materialistic to have any interest in the higher purposes of life, should not be informed of the secrets of devotional service, because they would be likely to commit offenses against the Supreme Lord, against his devotees, and against the sublime exchanges of bhakti among them. In fact, bhakti is no great secret. Anyone who reads Bhagavad Gita will hear enough explicitly said about it. But even in the Gita, these things are said in such a way that atheists and impersonalists will understand in their own wrong ways. Many impersonalists, for example, foolishly presume that when Krishna says, "Take shelter of me," he means not literally himself, but the impersonal supreme within him. Bhagavad Gita is simple enough on its surface, even though its essential message is a sublime secret. But the hymns of the original four Vedas and the philosophical discourses of the Upanishads are especially cryptic. This is the Supreme Lord's plan, in which he is assisted in the execution by the Vedic sages. Only those qualified with a proper attitude of respect should be enlightened as to what is actually the nature of the soul of man, the nature of the Supreme Soul, and the eternal loving relationship between them. The key to effective association with the Supreme Soul is pure love. The most priceless thing, which should only be given to those who have dedicated their lives completely to the Supreme's service. Anukulyasya sankalpaha. They should have accepted everything that favors their own development of this prema. Because what is anukulya? Anukulya means what's favorable to developing prema, not what's favorable to your sense gratification. Pratikulyasya varjanam. They should have abandoned everything that obstructs it. Rakshishyatiti vishwasaha. They should fully trust that the Supreme Lord will protect them in all circumstances. Gopritre varanam tata. And they should consider themselves his dependent servants. Atmanikshepa, without hesitation. They should devote everything in their life, all their assets, and all their ambitions for his pleasure. Karpanye, and they should retain no trace of selfish pride. Krishna and his assistants, the rishis, teach the science of self-realization in mysterious terms so that only those who deserve can understand. When Krishna bestows prema on a devotee, he puts himself under that devotee's control. Therefore, it is undesirable for him to give away prema to anyone and everyone. Krishna is the most pure being, and only those who are also completely pure should ever come near him. Completely. Mere service and subservience are not sufficient for personal contact with the Supreme Lord. Pure love is required. Nonetheless, compassionate Vaishnavas like Lord Brahma and his son Narada want that even ordinary people can become fit to understand the secrets of prema, which is why Brahma asked Narada to expand the abbreviated Bhagavatam he taught Narada in four chapters of the second canto, and why Narada asked his disciple Vyasadeva to present the full Bhagavatam for the current age. Okay, any questions?
Krishna's verses in the editorial, like you put in the translation you have when you come with the verse, we get one Kriya, Shuni, Paramo, Cha, Chapa. So it's only two lines of the verse, but in the translation you think of full verse.
What table?
Because you might have printed so on. It's not possible to change the verse.
You mean I translate the whole verse?
Yeah, give the whole verse translation.
Oh, let me see.
Where is it?
It's before the Dhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadhammadh supreme instruction. Okay, how does it begin again, Sanskrit? Okay, I'm making a note of this. This is translation of okay, I noted it. That will be fixed. Okay, what else?
Yeah, also, the full conception that Krishna doesn't give Bhakti freely because the Bhakti won't control him. Because he sees if he gives prema, gives the devotion that produces prema, he won't have any desire to control Krishna, to work him, to make him some better with Krishna, because he just wants to serve Krishna. So, it looks like a contradiction because Krishna doesn't think prema because he's afraid of the reward he must give us, not the good emotion.
Well, Krishna does say this, so we have to try to understand it his way. He does say that he doesn't give bhakti prema away freely because it brings him under control. Because he's giving himself away. He can't be that free in his giving himself away. Once he starts giving himself away to less perfect devotees, then everyone's going to want. He may not get in trouble, you know, lowering his standard a little bit and giving to faithful devotees who are not going to cheat him. But the more he gives himself to others, the less he at least it is preparatively, the less he can be with his best devotees. When he leaves, at least preparatively, I don't know what unpreparatively, but preparatively, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he's not there. He goes to Mathura to favor other devotees, then the devotees in Vrindavan lose him. So he's got obligations to his most dear devotees first. And if he starts giving himself away, you know, completely to too many others, then they seem to get less of it. Okay, maybe that's not a satisfying argument because actually it is aprakatalili, he can give himself unlimitedly to everybody. There's no limits. I don't know. This is maybe I can't understand. It's Krishna's idea. I don't know what he means by it.
He wants to stress the pure devotion of those devotees who already prove in the heart in comparison to those devotees who are already.
Yes, or he wants, maybe not distinguishing between this devotee and that, but he sees every person as potentially a perfect devotee. But to make them perfect devotees, he has to push them. He has to make it not just so easy to get him. He wants to make them fit, not just to have some sort of wishy-washy relationship with him, and he'll show himself in that relationship, but he wants to bring him up to the highest standard possible. To do that, he has to make himself hard to get, not just give himself away so easily. He doesn't show himself, he doesn't actually show the personal relationship until the devotee becomes as purified, as elevated as possible. Then he rewards. Krishna is slow, is hesitant about rewarding the devotees until they have made themselves as fit as possible.
Because the reason that Krishna is rewarding the Lord, somehow we make the Krishna in this way, and he might feel some pain in this. In some way, maybe.
Okay, but that's well, yeah, but that's like saying that Krishna, you know, was insulted by us. He's holding a grudge. I don't think Krishna's like that. I don't think he feels jealousy or, you know, the pain of being insulted. I don't think that that's his problem. Okay, but it's not like the other people aren't dear to them. Like you have some children, the obedient children, you reward them, and the child is not living up to the standard, isn't as good as he could be. You may withhold shows of love to, you know, urge him, as an urge to make him improve. Otherwise, if you give him the same rewards that the obedient children get, then he won't improve himself. And you want him to become as excellent as he can. So therefore, you may hide your love, you may not show it, to make him better. That's actual love. You don't show the love, but you hide it, but that's an act of love. I'm not properly plugged in, and I just lost my screen. So I need to, something, well, I can see it. No, okay. It's plugged in now. Let go, okay, yeah, okay. Let me turn it on. All right, anything else? Yes, how are you doing?
I heard several times from the personalists saying that the Vedas are, speaking of the cryptic language of the Vedas, that they have got like four layers of secret encoding, and one needs to go through that to be able to understand and what would you reply to that. Like, you know, Arjuna means this and Pandavas mean that, and there's three more layers of that.
They don't understand what the encryption is. The words are straightforward. It's not some secret code, you know, and the actual history can be ignored because it's just some symbolic secret code that tells you the real information. That's not true. What's a mystery is the understanding of the words, the intention of the author, the purport. That's a mystery. The meaning of the words is very straightforward. It's ordinary language. There may be some poetry involved, some figurative usage, but if it's poetry, it's regular poetry. There's nothing, you know, mumbo jumbo about it. It's not like you have to translate it into some secret message. That's not the way that the standard respected commentators explain the Bhagavatam. They don't screw out all sorts of esoteric secret meanings. They explain what the words mean, they explain the grammar, and explain the purport, the meaning of the story. Very straightforward. Look at Sri Goswami's commentary, Jiva Goswami's commentary. Elaborate, insightful, but straightforward. I get suspicious when those esoteric interpreters can read anything they want into any text. That shows that they're not actually in touch with the actual text. They're making up something. Yes.
Sometimes it's it's much more difficult to make such a question of telling meanings that we won't be able to understand in this verse. So it is that they spend the right meaning, it's power, like they say, it's in power, and sometimes in
communities.
I mean that they spend the power because of their devotion or their realization, and therefore they speak about it. Or because if you just read this verse as it is, you wouldn't be able to take the power.
To actually understand the bhava of Bhagavatam, you have to be rasika. Rasika and Bhavuka. Those are the people who can actually understand Bhagavatam properly and be authorized to explain it to others. Are the people who can take taste rasa, rasa and discriminate, you know, the different shades of bhavas. Without that, you can repeat what others have commented, but you can't make up your own commentary. You shouldn't. Hare Krishna. Yes. Parvati Puri.
Guruji is posted about the last two sentences in the commentary. That this Brahma gave four verses to Narada, and Narada expanded into four chapters, and Vasudeva again expanded into 80,000 verses.
Yes.
So also it is said that Krishna went back home, back to Godhead, and Bhagavatam appeared.
Yes.
So before that only four verses were?
No. We've been over this before. The Bhagavatam is eternal.
Yeah. So
But you know, the fact was forgotten. Or a bridge version of the Bhagavatam was manifested. That doesn't mean the 18,000 full version didn't exist. Maybe it wasn't available, maybe nobody, you know, they forgot about it, but it existed.
So, what if somebody wanted to read Bhagavatam that time, so what they used to recite, or whether they recited Bhagavatam before Kali Yuga or...
Yes, well, we're told that there was one big volume of all the Puranas containing 1 billion verses, so the 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam were part of that. Of the 1 billion verse Purana.
But that 1 billion...
And that's available on the heavenly planets.
Yeah.
Even now.
But earthly beings, what they should say?
Earthly beings may have a problem finding Bhagavatam. You know, right now it's being disseminated. But in some other age it may not be easily available. I don't know. Maybe it is. But even when it's available, not everybody's interested.
So it's like, it's one more advantage of Kali Yuga's kind of thing. Harinam Sankirtan is one advantage.
Yeah. The advantage of Kali Yuga is the focus on Harinam and on Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is in focus. Is people are making efforts to make it available and explain it in a way that didn't usually occur in previous times. Previous times it was kept for people who were actually qualified to read it. Kali Yuga gets an emergency measure, attempt to disseminate the Bhagavatam to everybody. You can see, even the Sanskrit commentaries, these are Kali Yuga commentaries. They're from, you know, not that old. Sridhar Swami's commentary is maybe 700 years old. Not that old. But even they are not easy for ordinary people to read, even if you give them a translation. What is people reading in the original Sanskrit? And to read the Bhagavatam text without any translation, any commentary is not going to be easy. First of all, it's in Sanskrit. It's in archaic style of Sanskrit that even pundits have a hard time to read. We are taking advantage of the fact we have translation and purport in our own language. But when you don't have that, Bhagavatam is not an easy text to approach.
So if they didn't hear Bhagavatam, then...
They had it, but they couldn't read it, they couldn't understand it.
So were there other processes in other ages, they would lead to
like gradually. Kritaya Jayato Vishnu. By meditating on Vishnu for 30,000 to 60,000 years, you could... In Satyuga, you could become fully Krishna conscious. Probably after 55,000 years of meditating, you'll be initiated to chanting Hare Krishna. The process of Harinam and the Bhagavatam were available, but not in the easy way it's available now. We have Bhagavatam published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, or even the Gita Press got their Gita and Bhagavatam. before printing presses, all the works of the Goswamis had to be written out by hand, and the Bhagavatam. It took, you know, a couple of months to copy out make one copy of the Bhagavatam. It's estimated that all the books of the Goswamis, from the time they wrote them until the time printing presses came to India, and they started printing them, maybe 40,000 manuscripts, all together, of all the books, were ever created of the Gaudiya Vaishnava literature. 40,000 copies of anything. So that doesn't make it easy to get the books in your hand. And even if you have the manuscript, how are you going to understand it? It's written in a language you don't know. Much as in Kali Yuga.
At least the pure devotees like Nara would be talking through English. Maybe you are hearing Bhagavatam also.
Like Narada Muni heard from the Bhaktivedantas.
Yeah, so they are discussing this kind of devotee.
But it's like, you know, but that was a very fortunate, rare circumstance for him. It's not like on the you know, down the street there was a pundit reciting Bhagavatam. He, you know, it's not like there's Bhagavatam in every street. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like there's a rare opportunity to hear Bhagavatam. That I don't know. The actual history of, you know, Sankirtan and Harikatha in other ages, I just know theoretically, but I don't really, you know, how unavailable it was. I don't know. The main problem was that people had too much spiritual assets. And just chanting Hare Krishna, they probably did some chanting Hare Krishna, but they didn't take it seriously enough. They chanted Krishna's names. But they thought that the real sadhana is something that has to be more difficult. It's too easy. And they had all this, you know, spiritual chip on their shoulder because they could practice mystic meditation, they had siddhis and powers of concentration. And it doesn't use their powers to just chant Hare Krishna. They may have chanted, but they didn't take it seriously. Just like you have many people who also are joining the chanting, and they don't let it change their lives, but they don't take it seriously. They think something else is important. So like that, people in other ages, they tend to think that other sadhanas are the real sadhana. And they don't give enough respect and attention to it. Even if they do some Hare Nama, they don't give enough attention and respect to it. They don't actually take shelter of it. Because we have no hope. It's our only shelter, and we know it. When we think we have some other shelter, we don't take it seriously.
In the future, it could be more easy. In future, logically speaking, it could be more easy in future. In future, Kali Yuga, it could be more easy.
I don't know about that. It's going to become easier as Kali Yuga. Well, maybe for the next 5,000 years, it may be easier. And, you know, I don't mind volunteering to take a few more births and see how the second-term movement develops. I wouldn't want to be here, you know, much more after 5,000 years. It's going to diminish again and then down to zero again, the second-term movement. So, yeah, maybe for the next 5,000 years it'll get better. After that, it'll get a lot worse. Yes?
One question is related to Prabhupada's question about Bhagavatam. So, Rama, he received these four verses, a rigid version of Bhagavatam, and then he asked Narada Muni to expand it.
Yes.
So, Narada expanded with Bhagavatam, and it was given by the disciples of the session, and so Vyasadeva. Then Vyasadeva, he just compiled all the Vedas, and Prabhupada was well, and he has put it up. And then Narada again came to Vyasadeva and told him, okay, you forgot about Bhagavatam, you have to stress Bhagavatam. Is it like this?
What was that? Vyasadeva did what? He put the Bhagavatam?
Yeah, maybe it is there.
Well, what Yoga Swami explains, or maybe it's Baladeva Dibhushan in his commentary, Vyasadeva first presented only a synopsis of the Bhagavatam, short version.
Then he got chastised by Narada, who told him we need the real Bhagavata, the whole thing.
This verse wasn't the same Bhagavata which Narada explained in the history of Lord Brahma.
I have no idea what it was.
Or was it more ancient version of Narada's Bhagavata?
No, we don't know. We don't know. Just in the commentary there, it mentions that he made an abridged version, but doesn't say what it exactly was. Yeah. Because it said that he created 18 Puranas and then created Bhagavatam. So he did Bhagavatam twice. First an abridged one, then the complete one. Yes. Well, probably everybody knows it by heart. You know, they don't even need to have a book because they all know it by heart.
But if that is the case, then it seems like Krishna is being spoken in various places as God. So Krishna is spoken as God in various places. So, they know.
Oh, that's okay. It won't spoil them. They can hear that he's God. That their bhava is strong enough that won't. It won't confuse them. They'll hear it, and you know, they may momentarily just, you know, agitate their minds, but then they'll just forget it. Like Mother Yashoda seeing the universe in Krishna's body, and then she's thinking, oh, well, maybe he's God. But then she was overwhelmed by motherly affection, you know, 2 seconds later. It didn't really change anything. And maybe they don't, you know, they know the whole Bhagavata, but they don't recite it all because some of it is not consistent with the Bhagavata.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Or maybe they do recite it. I don't know what they do with the Bhagavata. They're asking me questions I can't possibly have the answer to.
About the third verse of the Bhagavata, you speak that the government about the role of Bhagavata is the problem, is the root of cultivation in the spiritual world. And cultivation is usually they provide whatever is necessary in the world to serve. So, in the same way, maybe it's called metaphorically, because Bhagavata also provides, you know, whatever is necessary for us in the material world in order to serve Krishna. Isn't there this?
I don't get the point. The Vedas are a desire tree. They supply everything. Everything wanted, everything needed. And then the Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of that desire tree. Now you're saying Bhagavatam is also a desire tree. It's the fruit of the tree of the Vedas, which is a desire tree. Because in general, that's the business of the Vedas, is to help people fulfill their desires. But that includes material desires. Bhagavatam doesn't get on that level, doesn't deal with that. Bhagavatam doesn't help people fulfill their material desires, but the Vedas do. So that's why Bhagavatam is special. You know, you can take the bark of a tree and make some medicine out of it, or turpentine. The fruit is much more valuable. You know, you can make this nice juice out of it, but you can't make turpentine out of the fruit. Make it out of the bark. So you can't squeeze material benefits out of the Bhagavatam, although you can squeeze them out of the rest of the Vedas. Bhagavatam is a specialized desire tree. It only gives desires to those who are pure, and because they're only pure, the only thing they want is pure devotion. It doesn't give material benefits.
Is there something about that about the Veda?
Maybe we try another paragraph before we run out of time? Okay, let's try. Although this is a long one. No, it's okay. Three verses quoted. Ata katam tata bhutam rahasyam udayet yet yapekshayam krama praptam rahasya paryanta sadakatvat rahasya dvaina tadarpa bhutam tariya sadhanam upadishati. Now why is the rahasya mentioned first, prema bhakti, and the sadhana, the angas, sadhana bhakti mentioned second, last? Why in that order? Why not the other order? Usually you think sadhana bhakti comes first. But here's a statement. Next, in response to the question, how can this confidential mystery become revealed? That you hear about the confidential mystery and then you want to know, well, how can this be revealed? How can people find out about it? The Lord points out the discipline for achieving it, which is also its confidential mystery in the sense that it is the means for achieving step by step everything up to and including that mystery. I'm going to change one word here. Okay, so the sadhana is going to be discussed in response to the question, how do you get this mystery? How can it be revealed to somebody? It's revealed by practice of sadhana bhakti. And the sadhana bhakti is also a mystery, a confidential mystery. Because by sadhana bhakti, you gradually achieve so many accomplishments like freedom from sinful life, happiness, knowledge. Finally, you get prema bhakti. So because it gives you prema bhakti, it's also a confidential. The sadhana bhakti is also a confidential mystery. Because it gives you the supreme mystery. Okay, so then it's said in the fourth verse of the Chatur Shloki, Etavadeva Gigyasyam Tatva Gigyasanatmanaha Anvayavyadide Kabyam Yatsyad Sarvatva Sarvada. So this is the description of the angas, sadhana bhakti. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth most certainly must, isn't it? Not most. Must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Okay, that's a mention of sadhana bhakti. Atmano mama bhagavatas tatva gigyasuna prema rupam yatartyam rahasyam anubhavitum ichchuna etavadeva gigyasyam shri guru charanebhya shikshaniyam. By one who is desirous of understanding the truth of the self, that is, the truth about me, the personality of Godhead, and who wants to experience the confidential mystery as it actually is, that person should inquire into this much. This much should be learned at the lotus feet of one's divine spiritual master. Kim tat, and what is that he should inquire into? Yarekam eva antayavyekabhyam vidinishenabhyam sada sarvatru syad upapadyate. And what is that? Oh, that which alone is found always and everywhere, both positively and negatively, by both injunctions and prohibitions. What does that mean? Well, yata. He's going to explain what he means by this. That which is revealed directly and indirectly, positively and negatively. He explains that by giving two examples, one of each. Yata nahyato nyat shiva panta vishatak samsvita vihir iha vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yogo yata bhavet iti vyativekein opakramya tadupa samvade. Thus, for example, the passage that begins by stating negatively, vyatireka, that for those who are wandering, In the material universe, there is no auspicious means of deliverance other than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of the Lord. That's a negative statement. There isn't any effective means other than bhakti. Okay? Idivyakti reke no pakramya tadubasamhari tasmat saratmana rajan harik sarvatva sarvada shrotavyaktir titavyascha smartavyo bhagavan vinam ityamvayena sarvatra sarvadet yurta. While having said it negatively, that same passage then concludes with a positive statement, with the words always and everywhere. So that's all including, not denying, but including. In the words, O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. So the fourth verse of the Chatushalaki, he talks about Gigyasa, but the explanation clarifies, we're not just talking about being curious, but talking about actually engaging in hearing, chanting, and remembering. That's sadhana bhakti. Let me read the commentary. Tell you what, we're out of time, so I'm going to hold the commentary off for Sunday. We'll read this paragraph again from scratch, rather than rush to finish it or go over time. But if you have one or two questions, we can answer. They're both called by the same word, bhakti. Bhakti in practice and perfect bhakti are both called bhakti. And the identification, the merging the two into one word is justified because the practice bhakti leads to the perfect bhakti. It turns into the perfect bhakti. So it's the mystery because it turns into the mystery. Okay? Yeah.
You mentioned why the order is
several
related. What is the
reason? Well, it's just that, of course, this is Chatushalaki Bhagavatam. This is like just the bare facts. We just want the basic facts, not the details. So the real aim is pure love. Sadhana bhakti is of secondary importance. The purpose of it is for developing pure love. But it's added onto the list, but it comes last. First concern is prema bhakti. Then, once we understand prema bhakti is our goal, then we can ask, how do you achieve it? But first of all, understand the goal. You have to know your goal before you think about how to get there. You go to the kiosk asking for directions. How do I get there? They have to know, first of all, where you're going. You tell them where you're going, they can tell you how to get there. So first of all, decide where you're going. That's why the rahasya comes first.
But is still
jnana and vijnana comes before that? But not, yeah, but that means jnana and vijnana. Yes, that's sambandha jnana. That's sambandha jnana is required before abhideya and prayojana. Yeah. You cannot understand that the Supreme Personality of God is the goal of life unless you know what Supreme Personality of God it is. You do have to understand theoretically God first. Then there's well, if that's God, I guess he's supposed to be the goal of life. But you can't, it means nothing to you that he's the goal of life until you know what the word means.
So
the logical order here is that, Abhideya last. And Sambandha is split into two phases, theoretical and realized. Okay, last question, because we're out of time.
Yeah, thinking about Nityananda's question, why Prem Bhakti is described first and then Sadhana Bhakti. So I also heard one lecture about the fifth verse of Guru Ashtakam, that Madhurya Lila Guna Rupa Nama Nama. So actually the order is Nama Rupa Guna Lila, but here the order is given in reverse way. Madhurya Lila Guna Rupa Nama Nama. It's reverse. So the explanation due to get that some in a box we keep filling the things, then the first thing will go at the bottom.
Yeah.
And so the Naam goes to the bottom, then go to Guna Lila. And now then we are picking it up. So the Lila will come first. So same thing like here, like
somebody
explained Sadhana Bhava and Prem, and then while picking it up, the Prem will come first and then last Sadhana. No,
I guess so.
this explanation gave by the devotee of Madhurya Lila Guna Rupa Nama Nama.
Okay, that makes sense there. I don't know if that applies exactly the same way here. Anyway, Jiva Goswami simply said that it's natural. It's not just saying, you know, how your attention will naturally develop. Of course, you have to do sadhana. Most people have to do sadhana bhakti before they can begin Raghunuga bhakti, of course. But just in, you know, sense of the natural development of interest is that you're going to hear about God, then think that maybe He's the goal of life, and then say, well, if He's the goal of life, how do you achieve it? It's a natural development of questions of interest. It could be presented in the normal way. It doesn't have to be in this order. But in the order of jigyasa, of inquiry, it's a natural, natural psychological order. Last comment.
He gives 64 axes of devotional service. The first five of them are devotion, spiritual master, which is appreciation. And then second form of peace is Sotanama Prisha. So is it what is meant by Jigyasa, I suppose?
Yeah, yes.
The devotion, spiritual master, is related to the appreciation, the serving, the
Yeah, it's not just enough, okay, I'll become your servant and you'll bless me. No, you got to have some serious questions. You know, okay, you came here, you're going to hang on to me, but what are you here for? What do you want from me? You know, you just want fairy dust on your head? You know, a serious disciple should ask some serious questions. Otherwise, what can the guru do? Just knock you on the head, you know, enlighten you, you got to ask some questions. So the jigyasa is an essential part of the even beginning of the devotional development.
And also, I suppose, before we can ask serious questions, because of course we are serious, so we have to approach the spiritual master, we have to seek appreciation from him, and we have to also serve him, and in this way we can understand that we are serious.
Pranipatena, then Prayaprasana. First you should be serious first. Show that you're serious, then ask your questions. First, be serious and show it. Okay. We'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.